Good morning. We'd like to see the title, the Temple of the Holy Spirit, in the book of the 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 20. Before studying the Word of God for online courses, pupils, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 11, you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. What do they mean? Number one, in verse 11, King James Version, you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. What do they mean? Question two, in verse 12, all things are lawful for me. What does it mean? In verse 12, all things are lawful for me. What does it mean? Last question three, in verse 19, you are not your own. Why not? In verse 19, you are not your own. Why not? First of all, we'd like to see the background, historical background in Corinth when disciple Paul sent a letter to Corinthians church members. That time, the temple of the Eros, the Greek word Eros, meaning erotic lover, erotic lover, the love goddess Aphrodite, goddess Aphrodite was in Corinth. The temple hired more than 1,000 harlots or prostitutes as priestesses, women priests called priestesses, and sex outside of marriage was a part of the worship ritual. So group sex was a part of the worship ritual. So also here, the fornication or sexual immorality means sex outside of marriage. This latter background described in Book of Acts, chapter 18, disciple Paul spent there to teach the Word of God for 18 months. Verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Right here, disciple, do you not know? Rhetorical question. Don't you know? The unrighteous people will not inherit the kingdom of God. First of all, the unrighteous people, what does it mean? The unrighteous people, obviously all people are unrighteous, but only born-again Christians are deemed righteous. Why? Because Jesus Christ was dead for the born-again Christians, then the born-again Christians believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, Jesus' righteousness is imputed to the born-again Christian. So the unrighteous or the unbeliever, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom controlled by God. So the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, the several synonyms. First of all, kingdom of heaven, which means the kingdom of God who is in heaven. Or kingdom of Christ, or kingdom of David. So all name is similar, but emphasize some aspects, such as Christ mediatorial authority. For example, kingdom of Christ, which meaning only Christ mediated between human beings and God. So without belief of mediator Jesus Christ, no human beings cannot be restored still relationship with God the Father before Adam committed original sin. That is mediated emphasis in the kingdom of Christ. Or a kingdom of heaven. Heaven is a contrary to the world. World are subject to satanic power. Now that kind of a sense. So kingdom of heaven, so kingdom of God is in heaven. Jesus also, although Jesus is in John chapter 17, disciples are in the world, but not of the world, but of heaven. So there's belong to heaven, you know, that kind of is meaning. So basically, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Christ, or a kingdom of David. David is the emphasis of aspect is Jesus Christ came from David, you know, genetic line. So kingdom of David is forever. That's the same kind of meaning. So right here, the unrighteous people will not inherit the kingdom of God, which meaning the unrighteous people are not the member of the kingdom of God. Then, parallelly, disciple explains continually up to verse 10. So, you know, verse 9, you know, the second part, do not be deceived. So, disciple explain what are the unrighteous people, neither fornicators. Fornicators or, you know, sexual immorality, you know, that is a sex outside of marriage, people called fornicators. So without marriage, cohabitation, so somebody to live together, you know, the women, men, that is considered as fornicators according to Bible. Noah, idolaters. Idolaters, if you worship other gods than God the Father, Jehovah God, that's called idolaters. If you worship Buddha, or if you worship money, or right here, one example, if you worship Aphrodite goddess, that is idolatry too. Noah, adulterers. Adulterers is a man, emphasis adultery. Therese is women. Adultery, what's meaning? The sexual relationship with another other than spouse. That's called adulteries. Nor homosexuals. Homosexuals, same gender sexual relationship. Men that are called gay. So female to female is called lesbian. Nor sodomite. Sodomite is a sex with animal. That is a sodomite. Nor thieves. Thieves and larceny, you know, kind of what is a robbery. That kind of thing, you know, thieves. Nor covetous. Covetous, abnormal desire to possess or have it. If you have a strong, abnormal, unreasonable desire to possess another person's car, you know, or an expensive car, that's called covetous. Rather than you are satisfied with given car by God, you know. So then drunkards, uncontrolled, you know, drinking. So drunkards, you know, suggests the 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. Drink no more waters, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. Disciples sent a letter to Timothy. Right now, you may use a little wine for your stomach's sake. So, disciple allows, you know, drinking for health purpose. So, a little wine for your stomach's sake. Also, disciple inspired by God, the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Disciple sent a letter to Ephesians and the church members, and be no drink with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, you know, uncontrolled drink, you know, is highly, you know, prohibited right here. No drink with wine wherein is excess, you know, uncontrolled, and excess, too much drink. So that is really, those are, you know, uncontrolled, you know, drinking peoples are a slave of, you know, alcoholism. So basically, because those people couldn't control them by themselves, so actually they become a slave to alcohol. You know, that kind of people called drunkard, uncontrolled drinking people. No reviler, you know, bad word. So, you know, with orally we call slander, or writing, you know, bad word, you know, that kind of call libel. So nor extortional. Extortion is like a loan shark, unreasonably very highly, you know, interested. Kind thing will inherit the kingdom of God. So disciple verse 9, the unrighteous people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then disciple, what are the unrighteous people? Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are people not become the members of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God means the kingdom controlled by God. So those are people, you know, are unrighteous. So then, and such were some of you, here past tense, were some of you. So before you, meaning Corinthians, before you, Corinthian church members, became, you know, Christians, you were some of them. You practiced, you know, one over, or some of those unrighteousness and practice. But you are washed. Right here, King James Version, present tense, but here, New King James Version, past tense, you were washed. So anyway, past tense, just second past, you know, we call, you know, we use the past tense too, you know. So right now, you are washed. Washed meaning with bloodshed, Jesus Christ bloodshed, washed you from sin. Also here, we want to know, before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, all peoples are sinners. That time, all peoples, master, were sin. Sin meaning, how can produce sin? First of all, you know, human beings, fleshy lust exercise. So flesh lust exercise can be discovered only by law, because the law teaches you, tells us what is sin. So law, you know, given by God, law is the revealer of a sin. So for example, homosexual, you know, God said homosexual is a sin. That's why we know, you know, homosexual activity, we know that, you know, that activity is subject to sin, because God's law tells us homosexual is a sin. But unlike in today, you know, the certain state, homosexual is not sin, rather than, you know, disadvantaged people, like handicapped people, consider that. According to that secular law, homosexual is not sin. So that's why, you know, before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, all human beings, all you know, the people were under sin, also under law, also under flesh lust, or were, you know, subjected to sin, subject to flesh lust, subjected to law. That is all, you know, synonym, you know, operation is in that way. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, so this is a kind of the fleshless kind. First, you know, the tree, you know, appears good for food. Then it was pleasant to the eye. So pleasant, you know, fleshless. Then number three, a tree desirable to make one wise. Because when it's the forbidden fruit of a tree, I might be wise. You know, there's desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. So that kind of thing. So there is, you know, before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, all human beings were subjected to fleshlust, originally coming from Adam's original sin, also or subjected to sin, then subject to law. Oh, that is a kind. That is, you are washed. So washed meaning, you know, so when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross with bloodshed. So bloodshed to cleanse away our sins. So our sins were washed. Then that is not enough. Just a crucifixion, not enough, because the wage of a sin, or the ultimate result of a sin, is death. So the Jesus resurrection. So God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the power. That is which is the ultimate result of a sin. So Jesus win the death, you know, satanic power, you know, sins of power, you know, death power. So because of that, so after Jesus' resurrection, the God, you know, gave all believers the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we see, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, and after Jesus' ascension, 7 days after Jesus' ascension, so all believers, you know, they received the Holy Spirit as the gift, you know, from God based upon faith. So there is Holy Spirit is in us. So all Holy Spirit, the same Spirit is in us. So sanctified meaning is, you know, when we accept the Lord, because of resurrection, we are set apart from the sin. So, you know, Jesus' crucifixion and the resurrection, through that, you know, so we are set apart from the sin, or from the law, or from the flesh. Then, for God's special purpose. So each person is unique, you know, specially called by God. So sanctified simply meaning we are set up apart from sin, from fleshy, from law, for God's specific, exclusive purpose to each brothers and sisters in Christ. Then you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So justified meaning God declared you innocent, or you are not guilty over any charged sin. So why? Because when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that moment your broken relationship with God originated from Adam was restored. So now your relationship with God the Father was restored because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So because of that relationship, Jesus Christ's righteousness is imputed all believers. So all believers are deemed righteous. So in order to understand the imputation, you know, one example, you know, the medical malpractice case. So employee medical doctors, employee is a nurse. So the nurse mistakenly treated the patient wrongfully, although the employer medical doctor correctly instructed nurse to do so something. Because of employment relationship, not because of medical doctor's wrongful action, because of employment relationship between medical doctor and nurse, so although nurse treated a patient mistakenly, because of the employment relationship, medical doctor is liable for the nurse mistaken treatment to patients. So that kind of imputed, that's a basic, because of relationship, the nurse's wrongdoing is imputed to medical doctor, employer. So likewise, because of our faith, this is in a good side, because of our faith, our relationship with God the Father is restored. Because of that relationship, the Lord Jesus Christ took our sin instead of us, you know, as a ransom. So Jesus Christ's righteousness is imputed to me. So therefore, we are deemed righteous. So we are no condemnation in Christ. So naturally, working after spirit, not after flesh, because we are no longer subject to flesh. So that kind of thing. So before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, we were totally depraved. But upon we acceptance of Jesus Christ, we are deemed righteous, which meaning we are no longer depraved, you know. But because of Jesus Christ. So that's why, you know, Satan or devil accuses each Christian so certain wrong, that might be true. But our righteousness is not coming from myself, you know, the human part, coming from, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ, you know, the righteousness is imputed in us. So that's called justified. The God declared you are innocent. Then is verse 12, all things are lawful for me. Me is disciple Paul. So this is me as disciple Paul. Disciple Paul, you know, the born again Christian. All things are lawful for me. This meaning disciple Paul can do everything, not subject to, you know, unrighteous thing, because, you know, born again Christian, disciple Paul, born again Christian, disciple Paul, you know, subjected to God's grace, you know, so God, you know, God's grace to God, you know, not, you know, to flesh and anything. So this is all things are lawful for me. One example, in a smoker case. So in the Bible, you know, no prohibition against the smoke at all. So we can smoke, you know, freely, and all things are lawful. But if the smoking, you know, might develop certain habit, so we might be subjected to cigarette, we might be a slave to cigarette, to smoke, you know, severe habit. So, but all things are not helpful. Also, if you know, I am smoking, maybe, you know, baby Christian or, you know, the new believer might be tempted, might be their faith might be shaken, because you know, one mature Christian either smoking, you know, so something like that. So all things not, you know, helpful. All things are lawful for me. Again, all things are lawful for me. So emphasize, you know, I can do, you know, something. For example, drinking. Drinking case, you know, so we know, you know, Jesus made, you know, water into wine, you know, seven. Jesus also drank wine. So there is drinking, why not? But it's, all things are lawful. Yeah, I can drink, but I am thinking over my brothers and sisters in Christ who might be tempted because of my drinking. Also, for myself, I might be calm, alcoholism. So that is, I become a slave, you know, for alcohol. So, but I will not brought under the power of any. So, which meaning, but I will not be brought under the power to exercise the freedom, the liberty, anything. So, which meaning, the power to exercise a liberty is being controlled by the Holy Spirit in me. You know, so, you know, that kind of meaning. So, yeah, I can smoke, you know, Bible doesn't say anything. So, I can drink, you know, somehow, you know, but, you know, I will restrain. That kind of thing, you know, disciple Paul, you know, talks about that, First Corinthians chapter 9, I believe. So, you know, some is the sacrifice, you know, meat, you know, the, for idol worship, for idol worship. So, some Christians, you know, ate to sacrifice of meat, so, you know, that kind of issue. That moment, you know, disciple Paul, you know, taught the two Corinthians people, you know, some new believer, you know, offered and sacrificed the meat, so without asking, you know, whether or not this food, you know, came from, you know, sacrifice and meat for idol worship, just, you know, enjoy that food, you know, because all food don't come from God, you know. But, so somebody, they provide, you know, sacrifice meat for idol, but another guest, you know, who just believe in the Lord Jesus, a new believer, is there, so he, his face might be tempted. So in that point, disciple said, I wouldn't take, you know, sacrifice of meat. You know, everything, you know, think about the build up, you know, the body of Christ. Because all Christians, each Christian is a part of the body of Christ. So that kind of thing. Verse 13 also continually here talks about the one unity, because all Christians are one unity for the body of Christ. Food supports stomach and stomach for food. You know, what does it mean? That is the food, stomach. Foods are for the stomach. The stomach is for foods. So one unity. You know, food is existent for the stomach. The stomach is existent for food. One unit. God will destroy both it and them. So God will destroy, you know, the foods and stomach, both it, singular from stomach and then foods. So, you know, as a certain time pass away, anyway, foods, you know, stomach, you know, would, you know, pass away. So anyway, they destroy. Now the body, human body, the body, you know, is not for sexual immorality, or is not for sex outside marriage, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So verse 13, you know, first part, foods for the stomach for foods, then body for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So there is body and Lord, one unity. So which meaning, my body, a part of my body is existent for the Lord. The Lord is existent for the body, my body. There is one unity, you know, indicate. And God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power. So God, raised up, Jesus Christ, because Jesus was dead, as a ransom to cleanse away our sins with bloodshed. So was it that God, raised Jesus from the dead body to alive, Jesus? Exactly same way, God also raised us. Raised us meaning we are subject to sin or flesh lust or law. So God raised us from there, that is to alive. So right now, the alive, the new Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is given to us. So that kind of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, disciple talks about that is Galatians chapter 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, meaning myself, my flesh lust have been crucified, meaning have been dead with Christ, or Jesus dead. It is no longer I who live. So it is no longer I, myself, my flesh. So no longer live. So Christ lives in me. Now, subject to the raising and resurrection, right now, Christ lives in me. How? The Spirit of Christ lives in me. So then, the life which I now live in the flesh meaning the body I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So my life, the Christ life, the God's life. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ right here? Your bodies, the parts of the members, or members meaning parts of the body of Christ. Your body's members. That's why communion service, and Jesus said, the each disciple, took a piece of bread, just said, the bread, this is my body. So when you take a piece of bread, you are a part of Jesus' body. So one unity. So unity. That kind of a concept, that's why disciples brought food for stomach for food, then is a body for the Lord for the body. So one unity continually, your body is a part of Jesus' body. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Absolutely different. So your body not part of harlot prostitute. Prostitute is either was Aphrodite. So you are not part of idol, worship. So that is why not? Because the fleshy and spirit cannot be coexistent. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, against the directed contrary to the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another. So contrary to one another cannot be adjusted. So hallowed area in a flashy, lust, sexual group, sex kind of thing, all these flesh lust, idolatries, all kinds of thing, flesh lust. That is the contrary against the so flesh thing. So you because your body, because of your face, your body a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore you cannot be a part of harlot, prostitute, certainly not, absolutely not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? So you are joined, your sexual relationship with harlot, you are one body with her. For the two, he said, shall become one flesh. That is in Genesis chapter 2, 24 said, therefore a man shall leave his father's and mother. So marriage relationship, right? So sex outside of marriage is called sexual immorality, fornication. So certain sexual relation with harlot is called a fornication right here in this context. So a man shall leave his father and mother, that's singular, and be joined to his wife, not wives, and they shall become one flesh. So according to creation, you know, situations is one man, one woman, one husband, one wife, that is one flesh. Because of that, you know, is a polygamist, you know, today, so are considered as adulterous, you know, polygamy, adultery. So because one husband, you know, several wives, so only one, you know, the spouse is ordained by God. But in the Old Testament, you know, some, you know, polygamists, you know, come out, not there, but God, you know, some discourage, you know, polygamy, because the many, you know, the idols, you know, coming from, you know, the hidden, the Gentile, you know, women, you know, that kind of thing. Here shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Here also one unity. So you, you know, joined to the Lord Jesus Christ is one spirit. You know, there's the same spirit, the Holy Spirit. Only one Holy Spirit. So one spirit meaning one same spirit with him, with the Lord. Flee sexual immorality here, sex outside of the marriage. Flee sexual immorality or flee the fornication. That comes in the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Disciple, you know, the commanded to Timothy, flee also your youthful lust, you know, flesh lust in young age. Flee, but pursue righteousness, or seek for righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So purely heart, not tainted, not contaminated, not contaminated with the flesh lust. That kind of the meaning. So one example, Daniel, in a case, chapter 1, verse 8. So Daniel said, you know, I don't want to eat, you know, either worship, you know, sacrifice in the Old Testament situation. But Daniel proposed in his heart, in a pure heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, you know, delicious foods, but coming from, you know, either worship, you know, sacrifice meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he recast over the chief over the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel, you know, wanted to keep his pure heart, you know, to the Lord. So then every sin that a man does is outside the body. So we know that murder, you know, to, you know, another person, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body, which meaning his own body, you know, inside his own body, you know, sexual relationship, you know, so the, with the harlot, you know, the own body, you know, the sin, you know, that is fornication inside his own body, right? Not outside, inside his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? This kind of thing, you know, the Galatians chapter 2, you know, verse 22, you know, our life, you know, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That kind of, you know, same kind of meaning. Your body is the the temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning your body where the Holy Spirit places. You know, that is called the temple of the Holy Spirit. So your body is the spirit, you know, is there. So spirit is there, so flesh lust, you know, cannot be coexistent with the spirit, you know, obviously, right? So contrary, you know, cannot, you know, to work together. Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Why not? You know, your body is not yours, you know, which meaning I am not mine. So you are not in your own. I am not my own. But who? God's own. Why? Verse 20 answer. Because you were bought at a price. You know, Jesus Christ paid. You know, Jesus' bloodshed. So at that moment, Jesus' life and two deaths. That's a penalty. Jesus got it instead of rain. Jesus bought in us. Therefore, we are not ours. You know, I am not my own. So therefore, glorify God in your body. So you glorify God. So right now, my master is no longer myself or my fleshless or my law. So glorify God. You know, law is a schoolmaster. Law is the given by God. The law, you know, in the Old Testament, the kind of law. Law given by God, you know, the law is holy because the law is the word of God and God is holy. So law is holy, but the problem is us. So the law is schoolmaster to deliver us, you know, to meet Jesus Christ, because the law reveals us, you know, to be totally depraved, you know, to be, you know, so totally sin, you know, totally, you know, like a sin. So therefore, you know, the Lord schoolmaster, then we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that moment, we are no longer condemnation. We are no longer totally depraved. So because Jesus Christ justified me, Jesus declared us as not guilty of any previous charges, total depravity, total sin. So no longer. But right now, the Holy Spirit lives in me. So therefore, we are living for the glory of God and to glorify God. So sanctifying, you know, the step by step. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. But in your spirit. So, which are God's. So, my spirit, you know, actually the Holy Spirit, same spirit, you know. So, the Holy Spirit, no more an evil spirit, you know, the satanic spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, is in us. You know, so, what the satanic spirit influencing, you know, like that. So, according to the Bible, you know, unbelievers are subject to, you know, ultimately satanic, you know, the influence, satanic spirit, you know, evil spirit, you know, influenced by evil spirit, you know, something like that. So, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit is in us. So in verse 11, you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. What do they mean? So you were justified in Corinthians, now washed, because your sins were washed with Jesus' bloodshed. So, but you were sanctified, meaning, you know, you, you know, set apart from the sin and from the flesh lust, because Jesus' resurrection, you know, God raised the, you know, Jesus from, you know, dead body, you know, to rise. So no longer subject to sin or subject to death or subject to satanic power, flesh lust, set apart from the sin, you know, for God's glory, for God. That meaning, you know, sanctified for God, you know, exclusive, unique purpose to each creature. But you are justified. You are justified, you know, God, you know, declared that you no longer are guilty over any previous charge, you know, no longer total depravity, you know, previous charges, you know, at all, no condemnation, you know, in Christ declared. Then verse 12, all things are lawful for me. So for Christians, you know, we can do all things lawful. We can do, we can exercise our freedom freely. Truth makes us free fully. That kind of meaning. But that is not helpful, you know, not all things. But not all things, you know, are helpful to edify, to build up the body of Christ. will explain a single case or idol worship, you know, sacrifice meat, you know, the alcohol, you know, we explain that. Then verse 19, you are not your own. Why not? Because when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, the Lord meaning Master, no longer the Master are not, you know, myself. Because we accept Jesus Christ as a Lord, Master. So Jesus is a Master. So I am, you know, slave to the Jesus. Therefore, I am not my own at all. So the Lord, you know, owns us. Therefore, our life, you know, should be for God's glory, so glorify God. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer. Then we conclude this morning's sermon. God bless you richly.